Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. We're going to move through in warp speed, all three verses. Okay, let's start. The false teachers in Colossae, like a false teachers in 21st century nowadays, would not deny the importance of Jesus Christ. Would not deny the importance of Jesus Christ. They would simply dethrone him by giving him prominence, not preeminence. Do you understand? There's a tremendous difference. In their doctrines, Jesus Christ was one of the many beginnings that proceed from God and through which man could reach God. It was this claim that Paul defeated in this section of the letter to the Colossians. Probably no paragraph in the Bible, entire Bible, all 66 books, all 32,000 verses, there's no other portion in the Bible that describe Jesus Christ like this portion. The person of Jesus Christ is described in such a powerful way. So we are going to learn about my favorite person, Jesus Christ. Let's stop and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to come to your house and worshiping you and adoring you because you are great. Great God, you reign in splendor and majesty and dominion and power, both now and forever. Father, we exalt your holy name in our lives, in our action, in our thoughts. Father, we are asking you to speak to us this morning. We don't want to hear anything from man's mouth, but your words about you for your glory. Father, anoint our hearts that we may understand your deep truth. And anoint the one, he may speak only your word, not his own. Now we pray that, Father, you willing remove this coronavirus. Let the truth of the coronavirus be really known. And this rioting, people who will do the rioting and the looting, they may be stopped and they may come to know Christ. And we pray for the President Trump. He may receive your wisdom, your guidance, that he may speak your word, not his own. And we pray for the elections. Father, we are asking you to you put those who honor you to be in the offices, not the one who endorsed the killing babies, unborn babies. You reject them, Lord. And we pray for our troops. And the law enforcement personnel, especially them, we're asking you to protect them. And the firefighters, as they protect our lives, Father, we're asking you to protect them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, would you take a look at the verse 15 of chapter 1 in Colossians. He, who is he? Jesus. So Jesus is the image of invisible God. Note the word image. The Greek word for image is icon, and where we get our English word icon. The Apostle Paul used this word image to make this fact clear. It means an exact representation. The writer of the book of Hebrews affirmed that Jesus Christ is the express image of his person in Hebrews 1:3. And Jesus is able to say, he that have seen me, has seen the Father in John chapter 14, verse 9. It is only in Jesus Christ that the invisible God is revealed perfectly. It means that there is no mere creature can perfectly reveal and represent God. Jesus has to be God. Am I making sense? All right, let's go down to second half of verse 15. And some of you guys wondering, are we going to go through the entire book in a half verse at a time? Do you have any urgency? I don't. Okay, the firstborn, note that word, firstborn. Firstborn over all creation. You know, this is the verse where the Jehovah's Witness gets so excited. And they say, see, Jesus is firstborn. He's a son of the Jehovah God. He cannot be a creator. He cannot be God. They said that. They talked to the people who do not know the truth with their fabricated doctrines. Obviously, they didn't understand the definition of a Greek word, prototokos. That is not referred to a time. It's not firstborn, secondborn, third, the lastborn. Rather, it's to place or status. Are you with me? Firstborn of all creation means the headship of all creation. His headship of all creation does not mean that he was born first. Follow me? For example, King Solomon. In the Bible, it says David's firstborn. Is Solomon the oldest son? Then why do they say he's a firstborn? Because he's the headship of the King David's descendant. He was chosen. All right, verse 16. Get your pencil ready. For by, that'll underline that word, by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Now, we come to the portions of the scripture used by cult group to justify their doctrines, even though they are the ones who completely misunderstood and twisted it. They know that if they accept this portion of the Word of God, they must come to the realization that they are in cult. Jehovah's Witness Bible is known as the New World Translation. They do it this way. By him, all what? Other things were created. They insert the word other in verse 16 to claim that Jesus is not Jehovah God, but a son of God. Actually, Jehovah's Witness is nothing more than a reincarnation of a Gnosticism from the first century. I explained that to you before. Ever since the evolution theory came into the picture, young people, you guys heard about the evolution theory, right? Ever since it came into the picture, there have been a constant argument between the believers of creation fact and the evolution theory followers. There are more people who would rather believe evolution because they think that they don't have to be accountable to the God who created them and created everything in the universe. But they remain to be wrong. Though they claim themselves as a scientific people, yet they are extremely illogical and fanatic in their own created religion. Evolution theory. And some people who said, I'm an atheist. To be an atheist, you have to have a faith. Because everything pointing to God. It takes more faith to believe what they claim than just simply believing that there is an ultimate creator. Human bodies is extremely complicated. Beyond your own imagination, my imagination. Each DNA, I think I mentioned this to you, DNA has enough information to have 500 books that, no, I'm sorry, 4,000 books that each one has 500 pages. With one DNA, they can literally see the entire person. So if you believe evolution, if they insist on you that evolution is correct, so throughout the billions of years in evolved, and somehow became human being, that is such a big step of a faith. I talked with a bright young lady from U of A. She is in this scientific thing. I asked her what she is specialized in her major. She string out this long name that I cannot even spell. I think I have a pretty good English vocabulary, but I couldn't. What did you say? And she repeated again without even slowing down. So I had to ask her, I assume that then you believe in evolution. She said, yes. Okay, let me ask you the bottom line question. Did evolution start with nothing? She said, yes. Okay. If that's the case, where this Big Bang comes from? She had that look, you know, one of those look, deer looking at the headlight. That's not important, that look. She said, well, we don't start from nothing. We start from after Big Bang. Okay, you're going to start from here, but you have nothing down here. That is wrong premise. You understand what I'm saying? You got to have a good basis to start to make an argument to go on. Definition of a nothing means no thing. Am I correct? There was nothing to start with. And there was then gas come up. I don't know. You said that there is nothing. How can you have a gas? See what I mean? They got to have a faith. There's got to be a... You cannot just have a gas and somehow that explode. If there's really nothing except gas, it will stay with the gas. Listen up. Jesus created all things. It is no wonder that the wind and waves obeyed him when he was on the earth. And disease and death fled from him because he is the master of all. Again, Jesus created all things, including angels. One third of them became fallen angels by their own choices. All right. Just side note, no extra charge. The fallen angels. These fallen angels, they are demons. And they have you ever wondered, okay, if they have fallen by their own choice, can they be saved? Can they go through the salvation process like a human being? If they had a body. See, they are spiritual beings. Fallen angels are spiritual beings. They do not have a human body. In other words, since they don't have a human body, there is no redemption process. Because we have a human body, Jesus became the redemption element, ultimate sacrifice. And angel did not have a chance. That's why the fallen angels cannot have salvation as we do. Am I making sense to you? One more thing. Do not worship any angels. You only worship one God. All things under the Jesus command, nothing escaped from our Lord Jesus' acknowledgement. Without his permission, nothing will happen, including the devil, what devil want to do. And you may say, well, show me the example. Oh, I'm glad you asked. Job chapter 1, chapter 2. Satan himself had to ask God's permission. Without him, he cannot do anything against you. Verse 16, second half. All things were created through, underline through, that preposition, through him, and another word, underline, for him. Everything exists in Jesus for him and through him. He is the object of all creation. He is the object of our worship. He is the subject of our praise. We are created for his pleasure. Don't forget it. We all once were unbelievers in the past until we came to know Jesus as our Savior and Lord. And we knew that something was missing in our life before. We couldn't be satisfied unless we come to know him. There's a guy named Augustine of Hippo. I'm not saying he's that big and fat like a hippopotamus. He lived in the city called Hippo. In Algeria, modern-day Algeria. He's a 4th-century theologian. He said, we are restless until we come to rest in him. The Apostle Paul used 3 different prepositions in verse 16. By, through, and for. And it's a one way to refuting the philosophy of the false teachers. For centuries, a Greek philosopher thought everything needs a primary cause, an instrumental cause, and the final cause. The primary cause is a plan, an instrumental cause of the power, and the final cause is of the purpose. When it comes to creation, Jesus Christ is the primary cause because he planned it. Jesus is the instrumental cause because he produced it. And Jesus is the final cause because he did it for his own pleasure. When I say that Jesus, God created us for his pleasure, don't think in a sadistic way or don't think in any sensual way. To have a fellowship, he wants us to have a fellowship with him. Am I making sense? He did not create us to thumb us down as a slave. He did not create us to fellow God so that we can bump chest with him. He didn't create us above his head so he had to worship us and do whatever we want him to do. We are his subject. We are his servant. Verse 17, we're going to read the whole verse, but I'm going to read it from the NIV because let me read it from the King James and then I'm going to go there. And he is before all things and in him all things consist. If you have an NIV, it would say all things held together. I like that version better. Consist really does not mean anything to me. A guy that took the group of people through the atomic laboratory and explained how all the matter was composed of the rapidly moving electric particles. Tourists studied the models of molecules and were amazed to learn that matter were made up and primarily of space. During the question period, one visitor asked, if this is the way matter works, what's hold it together, all together? For that, God had no answer. Do you know that? Inside of DNA, our body DNA, that can be deciphered in a smaller portion, atom. Then, okay, individual atom, so small that even the electronic microscope cannot see. Atoms are so small, but atoms are staying together. With what? With a super glue? Or Elmer's glue? How they staying together? Nobody knows. Scientists do not know the ingredient of how they staying together. So they just simply called atomic glue. Wow, what a great name for the... I have atomic glue. If you buy now, you can get a second one for free. People, scientists, mankind do not know how to put the atoms together. But they figure out how to break them apart. In other words, we don't know how to build the things, but we know how to destroy things. That's what we are good at. When they are able to separate atoms from one another, they learn that a tremendous amount of energy gets released rapidly, instantly, and that would blow up everything within the sight many miles and destroy everything in its path. That's how atom bomb works. But we know who is holding every atom in its place. Again, this is another affirmation that Jesus Christ is God. Only God exists before all creation, and only God can make creation held together. To make Jesus Christ less than God is to dethrone him. Let me ask you this question. If God wants to stop, I'm just making hypothetical question, example. If God don't want to deal with any of these satanic things, can he say to Satan, you're not, and can he be gone? Yeah. Satan is not a rival of God like Hollywood wants you to think. Satan is a mere subject, mere being that God created as a Lucifer, then they turn into demon. There is no rival. There is no competition against God. There is really nothing. Really nothing more glorious than to know Jesus. That Jesus reigns over our lives. He reigns over this world. He reigns over the universe, and over every creature and every power in creation. This morning's teaching, as I put this together, I was in just deep awe because I'm barely scratching the person of Jesus Christ. If there is one person I can say he's my favorite person, that would be him. Sorry, honey, you are not. She's my favorite wife, but Jesus is my favorite person. Yeah. And no, you had to be here to remember what went on before. Allow me to bring up the 7 important point about Jesus. Number 1, no other God. We must know the supremacy of Christ, supremacy of his deity, equal with God the Father in all of his attribute and radiance of his glory and exact image of his nature. I pray that we all know the supremacy of his eternality, which makes the mind wants to explore with indescribable thoughts that Jesus Christ never had a beginning. He was simply there with the absolute deity. When I tried to talk to some of the young people who are unbelievers, and they asked me this, where does Jesus come from? He doesn't come from anywhere. He was there. He said, he cannot be. He's got to have a beginning. Beginning only limit within our mind. Because we are living in this four-dimensional world. Do you know what the one dimension, why do I say four-dimensional world? Think with me. And it's kind of philosophical. Dot. One singular dot does not have a size. Does not move. One dot. That's the first one-dimensional or first dimension. And when the dot moves to this way, that's the second dimension. Are you following me? And then when dots move this way and move this way, and become three-dimensional. Are you with me or are you thinking about food again? Okay. Again, single dot, first dimension, while it's moving is a second dimension, while it's moving, going up, now it's a third dimension. When it moves all of that in time, that's a fourth dimension. That's where we are living in. Guess where God is? Fifth dimension. He's above time. Let me put it in the... Huh? Oh. Good. I thought I was talking to the wall. When I was a kid, I guess in a way like many little kids, they play with the ant, right? Always playing with the bugs. I saw the trail of the ant. Because I'm not belong to their second dimension, I could see from the different dimension above, I could see one ant moving from here all the way to here. I'm seeing their past, I'm seeing their present, I'm seeing their future, where they're going. Put that thing in, we put us in that ant situation. God is above everywhere, and he's seeing our past, our present, our future. Am I making sense to you guys? Don't try to put God in your little tiny brain box. If you have a high IQ, maybe that's no more than 3 digits. 130, 140. Maybe you guys are some of them really smart, close to 160. No matter what you do, you are still within the 3 digits. Do you think God has any problem with understanding whole universe? No, he doesn't. Let me go on. Second point, no one wiser. We must know the supremacy of his never-changing constancy. To have a virtue that never ends, a character whose commitment is constant yesterday, today, and forever. And whose knowledge makes a Library of Congress look like a matchbox, and all the information on the internet look like an alphabet song. Hello, Jerry. Thank you. We must know the supremacy of his wisdom, which never have been perplexed by any problem whatsoever, nor can he be counseled by any person or any being in the universe. So don't try to give a suggestion to God. I've done that many times. He doesn't take a suggestion. He doesn't even have a suggestion box. Third thing, no king stronger. We must know the supremacy of his authority. Would you go to our memory verse, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Matthew 28. Excuse me. Matthew 28, verse 18. You there yet? All, highlight all, please. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. God changes times and seasons, deposes kings and set up kings, does it according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can control his hand or say to him, what have you done? So we must know the supremacy of his providence, without which a single bird in the deepest part of the Amazon forest has fallen off any tree branch, without which not a single hair of any head turned white or black. Somebody told me, JK, your hair is turning gray. No, it's not turning gray, it's just white, by the permission of God. We must know the supremacy of his word, which uphold the universe. And you may say, how do you know? It says in Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, please, verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I love that. Let me ask you this question. When God created the universe, what did he do? Did he experiment? Try this, try that, and look at the Arizona. It's baking too long. It's hot, blazing hot. I put too much temperature on that thing. No, he didn't go through that. He simply, what? Spoke. The power of his word. Fourth point. No judge pure. We must know the supremacy of his purity. He never sinned. He never had 1 millisecond of a bad attitude or sinful, lustful thoughts. We must know the supremacy of his trustworthiness. He always keeps his word absolutely without fail. The supremacy of his justice. And he will render all account settled in the universe, either on the cross or in hell. We must know the supremacy of his patience. He had endured you and me for decades. Isn't that the truth? And he bring the sun out to shine on it. And can you imagine why sun rose this morning on this wicked world, so full of us sinners? Because God is faithful. Lamentation 3:23. Would you go there, please? Lamentation, right after Jeremiah 3:22, start with the 22. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Amen. Fifth point, no servant more obedient. We must know the supremacy of his servanthood. Like a sovereign obedience, he kept every one of his father's command while he was on the earth and embraced the cross with a total willingness. He was meek and lowly and tender. He will not break the bruised reed or quench the smoldering flax. Sixth point, no God more wrathful or gracious. We must know the supremacy of his wrath. One day, it will explode on this world from heaven, such that all who have rejected him will call for the rock to crush their head, unless they have to face the wrath of the Lamb. God's anger is slow. His mercy is boundless. But someday he will say, enough is enough. Would you go to Revelation chapter 6, please? Last book, chapter 6, verse 16. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? You know, if that person is logical, that person should say, I repent, save me, Lord. Do you think God would save that person? Yes. Yes. Thousands of times, yes. But instead of crying out to God for his mercy and forgiveness, that person said, I'd rather die than ask God forgiveness. Well, ask God's forgiveness. How the person can do that when the person's heart, conscience is hardened? When people see the Christian being beheaded for their faith, and we hear someone say, where is your supreme Christ? Our answer is easy. He is in heaven storing up almighty wrath in fury to pour out on all those who committed such sins. And you'd better get right with him and repent, or you will receive his wrath. People think that everything has to be done right that moment. God is full of mercy. He wants one more person to be saved. We must know the supremacy of his grace, which gives a life to the spiritually dead rebel like us, awakens faith in hellbound haters of God, and justifies the ungodly with his own righteousness. We must know his love. He died for us while we are still yet sinners, and he gives to undeserving the ability of ever-increasing joy in the making much of him. Last point, seventh point. Jesus reigned over all. He is always infinitely in control over everything and every being. He is over all the earth, from the top of Mount Everest to the deepest bottom of the Pacific Ocean. He is a sovereign over all the plants and animals, and peaceful blue whale to the microscopic killer virus. He is a supreme over all the weathers and all the movement of the earth. That's including earthquake and avalanche, and over all the chemical processes that heal or destroy. Cancer, AIDS, malaria, coronavirus. He is a supreme over all the countries and government, armies, and terrorist kidnapping, and even beheading. He is over all the nuclear threat. He is over controlling over the politics, elections, and debate, over media and the news and entertainment. Everything is under his control. Nothing catch him off guard. The 19th century Dutch prime minister and theologian Abraham Kuyper famously said this: there's not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. How true. Jesus rules with absolute supremacy, though it may not seem like it now. But it's only a matter of time until he revealed from heaven in flaming fire to give a relief to those who trust him, righteous vengeance on those who don't. I'm going to read a portion from the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 11 through 21. I want you to pay attention. I don't want you to think that, well, hurry up so we can go to Denny's. I want you to pay attention to this. Verse 11. Now I saw heaven open. This is almost at the end of the seven-year tribulation. This is when Jesus is coming down from heaven, not for rapture. This is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse. I told you he's a cowboy. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written on that, no one knows except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on the white horse. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. And he himself will tread the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of a mighty man, and flesh of horses, and those who sit on them, the flesh of all the people, and free and slave, both small and great. Verse 19. When I saw the beast, the king of the earth, their armies, and gathered together to make a war against him who sat on the horse, against his army, then the beast was captured, with him the false prophet, who worked the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of beast, and those who are cast alive into the lake of fire, and burning with the brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Stop there, please. Folks, when Jesus came first time, he came as a babe in the manger. Had to depend on his mother to be fed. Has to depend on his father to be cared for. He had to depend on everything for his parents. When he comes back for second coming, he comes as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No one can stand against him. Under his name, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that he is the Lord. Aren't you glad he chose you? Your name is not written on the Lamb's Book of Life because you are so good. Let me give you a sound effect for that. No way. You and I were sinners against him. But he extended his scepter of mercy toward us and touched us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Worship team, come on up, please. I want you to close your eyes, bow your head. I'm going to ask you this question. Deep within your heart, ask yourself, am I that born-again Christian that preacher talked about? Am I going to escape that seven-year tribulation? Am I going to escape the wrath of God? You cannot escape because you are a good person. You will be judged if you are not. Why would you take a chance? Make it sure that you are born-again Christian. How do I do that? Simple. Just say in your heart, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior and my Lord. Do it now. If you've done that, I want you to raise your hand high. If you walked away from God because the world is offering you something more desirable, stop, turn around, come back to Him. There's nothing that world can offer you better than what God can provide. Never to depart again from Him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Go with us. Remind us. We are your children. Our names are written in the book of life. Not because we are good, because you are good, good God. We thank you and we praise you. We adore you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember to keep your knees down. Heads up. God bless you guys.